want to delve even further into this first paragraph of number 15. Ancient masters of excellence had a subtle essence, an adept too profound to comprehend. Because they were impossible to comprehend, I will try to describe them by their appearances. Cautious, like crossing a river in the winter, wary of the surroundings by strangers. Dignified, like a guest, and yielding, like ice about to melt. It is very, very, very important that you understand any and all of this. What does it mean to have a profound essence? What does it mean to be cautious, wary, as if surrounded by strangers, dignified like a guest, yielding like ice about to melt? The subtle essence of an awakened person is not in their knowledge. I know many teachers in the West, and you do too, who have great knowledge, knowledge of scientific facts and such, and they promise that you can live youthful and forever in your body. But none of this is true. The subtle essence of a great goodness that lives within is very rare. This subtle essence is something I've been urging you to work upon. It is your virtue. It is your goodness. It is found in the generosity of your mercy and compassion. If you do not have these things, you will never have the subtle essence. This is too profound to comprehend for the smart person, the person who thinks that their intellect is everything. I've had many of these people cross my path as a teacher and as a man, and they just can't see it. They can't understand it because it's too profound for them. This profound sense of wisdom goes beyond the intellectual prowess. It extends deep within a person's being. It is called love. Not everyone wants love. Not everyone wants the manner of the way to realize love within. Love destroys what is untrue. As I said in the last discourse, it obliterates falsehoods, conversations. You can't have a conversation about the subtle essence. Some people will hear this discourse and they will recognize the subtle essence of it all. They will realize because they understand their comprehension via their ego, their pride, their intellectual prowess is inept. Then and only then can they hear what I am saying. Fuzhe, who was, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful of all spiritual masters, he roamed to China. He talked to people. He was sitting having a midday meal of rice and eggs. And during a conversation, someone said, "I have heard of you, and it is said that you are a great sage. I myself have sought wisdom and immortality for many, many years, but never found it. Therefore, I beg you to tell me the means whereby I may find wisdom and immortality." Fuzhou could see into this man. He had what he would call the subtle essence. "Open your eyes," said Fuzhou, "and look within you, and then look around you. Open your eyes, look within you, and then look around you." Well, the man, due to the fact of having this subtle essence and never knowing that he had been cultivating it all of his life, closed his eyes and in amazement opened his inner eyes. "How beautiful," he said. "Wisdom and immortality are here and now." He said, "I see it. I've lived it in the midst of all of my searching. I was seeking it. I had already found what I was seeking, but I could not recognize it. I could not see it." He looked at Fuzhou and said, "How is it I could not see it before?" Fuzhou said, "Now listen, only because in your search for wisdom and immortality, you habituated yourself. You habituated yourself to a search for something you had not yet seemed to acquire. After searching for so long, you did not know that you had to break the habit of searching." Yes. Some of my students are collectors. They collect words. They collect beliefs. They collect ideals, but they have not found virtue. They have not found their authentic goodness. Fuzhou went on. "You have to break the habit of searching." The young man looked at his brother sitting next to him and said, "The wisdom in immortality we have sought for so long, my dear brother, it is here. Just open your inner eyes. See how beautiful all is." But when his brother closed his eyes, he could not see the inner. He screamed in terror. He said, "I don't see how you can call this wisdom or immortality. It is just horrible. The sight I see within me is hell and damnation, and I am consigned to it." The other brother turned to Fuzhou and asked, "How is this? For surely my brother and I are both here in the same place, and yet I follow your advice, your wisdom, and my eyes open. I see the beauty of it all." "Ah," said the sage, "but I said that to you, not your brother. Do you understand? Can you understand what he is saying? even though you might be related to someone in their biology, does not mean you have inherited insight, wisdom, virtue. How you and I live in the occupation of our bodies, consigned to their longings and desires, their beliefs, either allows us to experience great wisdom or not. This is the subtle difference that makes the subtle essence. It's what I call the ilk. If you have the ilk, you can recognize beauty. You can recognize the profound that your mind cannot comprehend. Stop trying to make sense out of the profound. Stop trying to comprehend from your intellect. Deep in every student I have ever had is the ilk for wisdom. It is only blessed and nurtured through virtue, doing a great deal of good. Remember the holy shadow. I just want to do a great deal of good without ever knowing it. It isn't searching for words or for people who are special or quote-unquote spiritual. It is searching within yourself to find the ilk, to find the means of the way within you. Yes, it does live within you, but you are trapped. You are trapped in appearances. You are trapped in beliefs. You are trapped in your low self-esteem, in ideals and concepts. And that's the hell that the brother found. He could not see this. He could not see the beauty and the wisdom of it all. Not because he was without wisdom, without love, but because he was habituated. He had to think of things in terms that he could understand. This is not the way. I like what Lao Tzu talked about. The subtle essence, that which is too profound to comprehend, is like yielding, like ice about to melt. This is a perfect analogy. If you look deep inside you, you will see your hardness of heart. It is the part of you that has come to conclusions about everything, everyone, every situation, and you have missed. These conclusions that you are so sure of remove you and harden your human heart to a degree where it is allowed to come up with beliefs and attitudes that simply are not true. People are habituated in this. If you look at your mind, it is always looking for some idea, some strategy to get away from what you are, what you have come to in your human heart, decisions you have made about yourself in the hardness of your heart. I find that this is the difficulty of my students. They have no love in them. They have hardness of heart. They have logic and reasoning for the reason for their hardness of heart. But they're so habituated in it, they overlook their ilk. the yoke of love, the yoke of wisdom, the yoke of immortality. All of this lives within each and every one of us. There is a great deal to be said for humility. Humility to me is the deepest and most profound sincerity a person can ever know. In this humility, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We find the light. We find how beautiful everything truly is. But to those who refuse to let their human heart melt like ice, they want things they can never have. If you cling to your mind as the only means for immortality, you will never find the wisdom of love. You can have all the scientific information. You can have all of the theory, all of the philosophy of Zen, of no-thingness, without ever achieving a single moment of it in your life. Because it's too profound to comprehend. Too profound to comprehend. If you can think about this discourse, you have missed it. The subtle essence is here. Which brother are you? The one that can hear and see how beautiful all of this is because you can go within yourself. You can see within and then look outward. Or are you the other brother? Who, when you go into your mind, it's a horrible thing. It's hell. Because you're habituated to thoughts and beliefs, conclusions that have nothing to do with you. This is why the teachings are so precious to some and so foolish to others. What did Lao Tzu talk about? The three different people that hear the Tao. The best is the one who lives it. The second best is the one who thinks about it now and then. But the worst is the one who laughs at it. Yes. This is the way we are. For those of you who stumble and bumble and struggle with futility, with habitual thinking, with the idea of consigning yourself to right and wrong, good and bad, to those of you who do that, you will miss the profound. Each and every moment of our life, there is a moment of the profound going on constantly. That is the manner of the way. Cultivate virtue. Do the virtuous thing, whatever it may be in the moment. Don't let your mind habituate back to what you think of as fair and right. To do that only brings about sorrow. Don't live in contempt of your own intellect. Live beyond all of that. As the Buddha said, want nothing with all of your heart. Let me read this from the Tao, and let's meditate together on this, you and I. Look, but you will not see it, because it is without form. Try to listen to it. But it is soundless. Attempt to take hold of it, It is impossible, for it is without form. Let you and I sit together this beautiful